I don't know.
Gosh.
All right. Welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. You can text us that same number. It's Mondays. That means Mondays with Sandy Williams. And Sandy, you know, we attempt to allow, you know, all callers, unlike conservatives. Can you imagine if a Democratic person like CJ called a conservative radio station? Number one, he wouldn't get past the screener. I'd happen to know a little bit about conservative radio stations. I used to be on them all the time. But certainly, CJ would never get past the screener because he's never on topic. And really, he's, to be quite frank with you, he's just not, you know, capable.
Well, let's
stay on topic.
Well, but the fact is that CJ does probably represent.
Yeah, he does.
A fair number, the way a fair number of people feel. I would express. I asked him before about his anger. I do think that he's a person who probably is basically angry with government. If we asked him to list all the things that the Republican Party has enacted that has actually benefited him personally, he'd probably have a very short list to provide because most of the benefits have gone to people. Well, I don't know. CJ might be a person of very substantial means, but if he's not, then the Republican Party hasn't done much good for him. So I think his strong feelings are held by many people, and it's the people who are frustrated with the way things are. Okay, and the people who seem to be frustrated with status quo want to basically pursue and back a party that is totally stuck in the status quo.
You know, Sandy, there's no question that CJ is a microcosm of MAGA people. You know, you still got all these people who still following around Donald Trump. He's not the president anymore, but what he represents and what he stands for, there's so many people like CJ, and listen, you're not going to change those people. I get that. I understand that. They have made up their minds that this is the way they see the country and this is the way they want the country to go, and they fail to understand the country is made up of all. It's a melting pot. That's what America is, right? America is a melting pot. This is the only place on earth where you see Chinamen, you know, the Greeks, Africans, Mexicans, you know, it's a melting pot of people. So to somehow, and you go to other nations, you won't see that. So, but you can't expect it to be the way you see it because you're European when it's the nation is made up of everybody. And where we're stuck, Sandy, is we've got a group of European Americans who are saying, well, we want it this way. That's not what America is.
Well, I know, but I do think that this group that you've described, this sort of European Judeo-Christian, is those people view themselves as embodying what is America.
I know, that's correct.
So they aren't able really to embrace this concept of melting pot or immigrants, even though all of their forebears were immigrants. They were all European immigrants.
Right.
And so somehow America became an extension of Europe. It was sort of an extension of Europe demographically. And suddenly now it's not. And these people are, and it's not sudden, it's been gradual,
right.
But now we're at the cusp of it becoming much more apparent. And so these people are frightened by that prospect because at the same time, their grip in the economy and the economy at large has become much more volatile.
But wouldn't you say at some point in time, they're going to have to accept the reality that because they view it that way, they are only a segment of
yes.
the nation.
Well,
so then are they saying that the rest of the nation has to conform to what their views are?
Well, let's do this in a way that actually reflects CJ. Those people are going to recognize it, but they're only going to do it kicking
yep.
and screaming.
It's true.
Okay?
It's true.
And so that's really what we're seeing when we talk to someone like CJ. He's really kicking and screaming about these issues, trying to figure out who he's angry at and why he's so angry and how it is that it's the fault that this movement from what they're used to what it's going to be is the fault of somebody.
Let's try to squeeze a caller in. Who do we have?
Craig's calling from Waukesha.
Hey, Craig, how you doing? Thank you very much for the call. You say what?
Good. I've listened to the whole segment that you've done. I think it's an important issue that you've raised.
Thank you.
But, you know, I've heard they're frustrated, they're frightened. Rural voters are not well-educated. They're not intelligent.
You didn't hear that from us.
You didn't hear that from us.
No. But some of your people have called in and said that.
No. Only. And they're not my people. Only one person called in, and that was he was corrected, and he accepted it. So go ahead.
Okay, but Sandy just said that the rural voters are frustrated and frightened. Sandy said that.
I did say that. I didn't say yeah. rural voters. I said the people for whom the world is changing, and I was talking at that point not about rural voters. I was talking about essentially the white Judeo-Christian bloc that is a big part of America who sees America shifting and becoming different.
Okay, I know you've got short time, let me just say this, that I think there's a simpler explanation, and the explanation is this. At least this is one possibility. It could be that the people in the rural areas, although, you know, 50 years, 40 years ago, they were inclined to be voting Democrat, they have seen what's happened in those areas where Democrats have been able to come into control and govern for extended periods, places like Milwaukee, Seattle, San Francisco, L.A., Chicago. This demonstrates the ability of Democrats to govern in an effective way and take, well, unfortunately, have taken great cities, and now people are leaving there. Maybe it's that rural people see what Democrats have been able to do, and they don't want that to happen to them. That's a possibility.
Well, yeah, you know, there's a chicken and egg issue, and we could get into that discussion about whether the chicken or the egg comes first. But, you know, one of the reasons that the cities have the problems they have is that they have a large and concentrated impoverished population, and they have the race issue to deal with within the boundaries of their cities, the non-homogeneous concept that is apparently difficult for the United States to swallow. We talk about it. We talk the talk, but we don't really walk the walk very well. So, it is clear that cities have more social problems potentially than rural areas, but cities are areas of dense concentration and dense concentrations of poverty, and also the place where the racial differences are clear and obvious. So, I think that you've identified something that might be true, but I don't think it's because Democrats are the ones who are controlling cities. I think cities are viewed as places where there are social problems that don't exist in the rural areas.
And those social problems are there because industry left, right? I mean, those things didn't exist.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Those social problems are there for a lot of reasons, including that industry left.
And mainly because of that.
I'm sorry, what?
At the root of it is that.
Yeah, I mean, the number of jobs that Milwaukee lost from 1970 to 1985 is astronomic, actually, and it marooned a whole lot of people who had actually moved to Milwaukee, being lured to Milwaukee for the jobs that were being offered to them by these industries that then pulled up shop and moved or went out of business.
Hey, look, I wish I had more time, but thank you very much for the call. Really appreciate it. Thank you for listening. Yeah. Got to go to a break. When we come back, we'll continue the conversation. It's Monday. That means Mondays with Sandy Williams. You're tuned into the Earl Ingram Show. We'll be right back.